Welcome to the Home Church Podcast. My name's Kenny, and I serve as the lead pastor here at Home Church, and we gather in Maiden, North Carolina. We're so glad you tuned in to today's episode, and we hope that this episode will help encourage you and inspire you as you continue to follow Jesus step by step. Well, good morning and welcome to Home Church. My name's Kenny. I get the honor of serving as one of the elders. Today's Baptism Sunday, and normally what I like to do is I like to take this Sunday and to teach you about baptism. Many of you have grown up in church, or maybe even you haven't grown up in church, you've been around it enough where you've seen baptism. But more often than not, what I learn is that you actually don't know a lot about it. You've seen it done, and you maybe even were baptized at some point in your life, but there's not a lot of doctrinal teaching around baptism in the church. And so every year, I like to take this Sunday and actually teach you about what baptism is. I think it's an important thing for you to understand the doctrine of baptism. And so normally I've got a funny story and I'm going to try to connect some things and I'm going to like tie it all together. Today is not that. All right. Today I just got a straight doctrinal teaching for you. I got 5 points in this message and then we're going to go and we're going to celebrate baptism. Does that sound good to you? I hope that's okay with you today. Next week, come back. I got a real good preach for you, but today is a little bit of a teach opportunity. And so if you have your Bible, you can pull it up. We're going to be in lots of places. There's a screen behind me today. I know if you're sitting right here, you're like, homie, I can't see it. You're too fat. I know. If you're on the sides, you're in good luck today. But if you're watching online, you'll see the scripture at my feet. The app is down right now, just so you know. We are doing a renovation on our app, and so there's going to be no scripture there. So what's the deal with baptism? Like, why is it so important? Why do we spend a whole day around it? Why do we just look and we celebrate baptism? What's the deal with all that? And so today, I got 5 things I want to tell you that you need to know about baptism. So if you're a note taker, today is your day. All right, 5 things you need to know about baptism. And we're going to go fairly quick today. All right. So the last thing, right before Jesus ascended into heaven, Jesus gave his disciples what we call the Great Commission. It's this thing that he is wanting to means together, go on mission with God's people, his leaders, his disciples, and he gives them this commission, and it's the last thing that he says right before he ascends into heaven. Now, I haven't been to very many bedside deaths, but if you've ever been to one, here's what I know. This has happened. Right before you die, or right before you're about to pass away, you always have those last few things, like the most important thing you want to say, that's when you're going to say it, right? So wouldn't it make sense that the very last thing that Jesus says before he leaves the earth and ascends into heaven, before he hands over the keys of the earthly kingdom for the apostles, for the disciples to manage and to navigate, the last thing that he says, it probably means something, right? Probably important. And he says this, and this is where we find it in Matthew chapter 28. It's in verse 19. We know it is the Great Commission. He says this. He tells the apostles, all under all heaven and under earth, all authority has been given to me. Therefore, and here's what it says. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This is a big deal. The last thing Jesus says before he ascends into heaven is he gives some command around discipling and making disciples and how baptism is a part of that. So it's important. And so today I want to just give you some of why it's important, some of the practicality of it. And listen, some of you today, you've already been baptized and you're like, homie, I got all this, like I already did that thing, locked and loaded, like let's move on. I want to invite you as a disciple of Jesus then, that this is a doctrine you should be able to hold on to and be able to communicate about. So today, let it at least edify you and build you up in your faith to know around a solid teaching doctrine of baptism. For some of you, today might be a little bit of a punch in the throat. Can I just give you that warning? Because some of you today, I'm going to share some teaching that might just challenge you a little. Maybe it's going to challenge some of your past, some of your history, and you might just be like, what is happening? I want to lead you through all of that today. I want to answer your questions about baptism. All right, so here we go. 5 things that you need to know about baptism. Number one is this. Baptism is an act of obedience. Baptism is an act of obedience. Well, what are we being obedient to? Well, it's the fact that Jesus himself actually got baptized. Look, we see this in Matthew chapter 3, starting in verse 13. It says, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And so the first thing that we need to know about baptism is that's an act of obedience. We're trying to be obedient because if we're a follower of Jesus, the idea is we want to become more like him. The things that he said to do, we want to do those things. The things that he said to be about, we want to be about. The things that he actually did, we want to try to do them. And Jesus got baptized. And so there's a lot that goes on in just that little verse that I want you to know about. If you think about it, maybe you've never thought about it this way. In kind of context, it's a little bit weird that Jesus shows up and now just is going to get baptized. Because some of you are like, okay, well, that's where it started. That baptism started with Jesus, and you would be wrong by that. Baptism actually predated Jesus, and a little bit of contextual history that you need to understand is that for the Jewish people, for generations, they had actually celebrated what's known as mikvah, and it would be known as a ceremonial washing, a ceremonial cleaning. In fact, as historians and archaeologists are finding these places where Jewish settlements were, right in the middle of the town, they would find a mikvah, a baptism. And the heart of that was that someone who had been walking in sin wanted to become spiritually clean. Their thing, would they would go to the mikvah and they would be baptized and they would come out and they would be clean. They would say, hey, watch me walk in righteousness. So this idea of kind of mikvah or baptism wasn't necessarily new when Jesus got in the water. But Jesus did change the idea and the mindset and the reasoning behind it. Okay? The other thing that you need to understand is what a big deal even mikvah was in that time. Because here we are, we have these people in the Middle East, water is scarce. Now, I know some of y'all have already taken a shower today, and at least hopefully most of y'all already took a shower today. And some of you, you'll take one a little later, and that's gonna be me. I'm kind of like a two shower a day kind of guy, right? But the idea that water would be so scarce, this meant that it meant a lot to them. It was a heavy deal. But when Jesus gets in the water, he changes the meaning. This is why John is confused. Hey, why am I baptizing you? You should be baptizing me. Because normally when you get in the water of baptism or mikvah, it meant that you were a sinner. But what we know about Jesus is that he was sinless. And so John was confused. Why are you getting in the water of baptism to be clean when you are pure, you're holy, you're righteous? And when Jesus says it is proper, he's setting place. And then when he says to fulfill all righteousness, he's setting expectation. And so Jesus is being baptized to set the example for us to be baptized, to be obedient to what he's asked us to do. And here's the other important part. The last thing that you hear there is that a voice from heaven, we know that to be God, spoke and said, this is my son, with him I'm well pleased. And then there's this other thing that a lot of people misread. The Bible says that then the Holy Spirit came down like a dove. And most of y'all in your head, as you read that, you're like, oh, the Holy Spirit is a dove. And that's not it. It says the Holy Spirit descended like a dove. I had a conversation just this weekend about this, and it was lovely to kind of talk about the idea of when you think about a dove, you think of peace, you think of pure. And that's the Holy Spirit coming on Jesus in that moment. Peaceful, purity, but in power as well. It's also one of the rare moments in all of the scriptures where we get all three persons of the Godhead in one place. It's one of the reasons that we sang that song today. I believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we see all three persons of the Godhead in this moment. So there's so much that happens right here at Jesus' baptism that sets an example for us to be obedient to. The second thing that you need to know about baptism is this, is that baptism is your first step after meeting Jesus. It's your first step after having an encounter with Jesus. real quick, there's a scripture here. Paul, one of the apostles, is in jail, and all of a sudden he's starting to like preach to a jailer, and we catch this story. This is in Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 31. Paul had already preached Jesus to them, and it said in verse 31, they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him, to all the others in his house. And at that hour of night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. And then immediately he and his household were baptized. Some things you need to know. These are just some straight facts. Aside from Jesus' baptism, because, you know, Jesus was perfect. He was setting a new example for us. There are 33 references to baptism in the New Testament. 33. And after every single, right before every single one of those mentions of baptism, someone has an encounter with Jesus. Whether it's the jailer where Paul preaches Jesus, or even if it's Paul himself on the road to Damascus, 33 examples in the New Testament of someone has an encounter with Jesus, and then the very next thing that happens is they get baptized. It's actually pretty clear. This is why we call it a believer's baptism. Because the baptism that Jesus sets up for us, the example, is for believers to take. This is important. And this is where things start to get a little hairy, okay? Because I think most of us can line up with those first two things, and now I'm going to get to number three and buckle up, okay? All right, here we go. Here's why we call it a believer's baptism. Okay, there's a few things that you need to know. There are a couple of examples that I want to give to you that you might be thinking, okay, well, where do I fit in this? Okay, if Jesus sets the example and this is meant to be a believer's baptism, like, what does this mean for me? Well, first of all, I want to talk about infant baptism. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I know there are many in the room who at some point were baptized as an infant, okay? I want to talk about this very specifically, but I want to be very loving and kind. But there's nowhere in Scripture that gives us any indication that an infant has ever been baptized. In fact, we go above and beyond that where we call it a believer's baptism. And I have three little boys, and I remember when they were infants, I mean, I was wiping their butt, you know. I'm still wiping butts, and they're older, so maybe that's not the right example. But I'd hold my little children, and though I loved them, and we actually named them around things of God, the truth is that they didn't have the capacity to believe. And so for us to baptize an infant, that's not a believer's baptism. Now, I want to just celebrate you because more often than not what happens, and this happens in other denominations in the Christian faith, is they think a couple of different things. Number one, it feels more like a parent's dedication. They're dedicating their child to the Lord, and they call that a baptism. And I want to honor that. You know, we believe. We want parents to be the pastors of their house. We want parents to lead the way. And so I honor that your parents maybe led you in that and had you sprinkled or baptized as an infant. And that was their heart because they wanted to lead you in the ways of the Lord. I celebrate that. But I also want to be very clear that if that happened to you, that's not a believer's baptism. And that's not the same type of baptism that Jesus set the example for. And that's not the type of baptism that the New Testament talks about every one of those 33 times where someone meets Jesus and then they get baptized. Okay? And so what does that mean for you if you were sprinkled or baptized as an infant? Well, it really has to do with chronological order. So I'll ask you to consider your spiritual chronological order. At what point in your journey did you have an awareness that you were a sinner and that you were separated from God? And at some point you recognized that you were separated from God, but there was a way for you to be saved through Christ Jesus that we celebrated last week at Easter, who hung on a cross, and in that moment he paid the price for your sin. They put him in a tomb, and then 3 days later he resurrected himself. He walked the earth for 40 more days, appeared to hundreds of other people, and then he ascended into heaven, where right now he sits at the right hand of God the Father. At what point in your spiritual journey did you do what Romans tells us to do, which is to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead? Because the Bible says when you've done that, that you've been saved. You've been made new again inside of your heart. That the Holy Spirit then indwells you and you have been saved for eternity. Your spirit will live on with Jesus forever. My question for you is, at what point in your journey was that true for you? And as you're thinking about this and you think about, okay, well, I got sprinkled as a kid and then I came to that awareness and I haven't been baptized since. Well, I'm going to just go ahead and cut to the end of the chase today. I want to let you know that based on the second thing that you need to know about baptism is that baptism is your first next step after meeting Jesus. And so if any point you were baptized in any way, shape, or form, and then you met Jesus, I want to lovingly say to you that today your next step is to be baptized. Well, Pastor Kenny, I was younger and I was a kid. And this is another example that I hear pretty often. I was at teen camp and all my other friends got baptized and I just did it because I kind of wanted to fit in and all these different things. My parents wanted me to do it, or all my siblings were getting baptized and I thought, well, I don't want to be the oddball out, so I got baptized. This is a story that I hear very, very often. And I'll just ask you simply the same thing. If at some point in your journey that you had an encounter with Jesus, if you've been baptized after that moment, good news, you're good to go. And if you have not been baptized after that moment of salvation, for whatever reason you did it, I want to encourage you today that the scriptures teach that baptism is your next step as well. Okay? Over the past few weeks, we've seen lots of people either come to faith for the very first time or come back to faith. So another thing that I want to tell you is that if you've just recently come to faith, guess what? Your next step is to be baptized. But I also want to address those of you that have a real reminder that you know that at some point you met Jesus, and then you even got baptized, and then maybe you slipped away from the Lord along the way. And that happens to a lot of us. And a lot of times people come to me and say, well, Pastor, I've slipped away. It's been a long time. I want to wash away my sin. I want to do all these different things. And I just simply say to you that after you met Jesus, you got baptized. The good news is you don't have to get baptized again. And one of the common threads that I hear people say is, well, I want to wash away my sin. Well, before Jesus, that would have been the way. Except for now, baptism is not a way of cleansing your body. In fact, let me go as far as to say this. Baptism does not save you, and baptism does not wash you. Faith in Jesus is what saves you, and Jesus offering you forgiveness through your spirit, that's what washes you clean. Okay, so I need you to understand all that. So the last few things here are going to make a lot of sense now that you hear all that. Point number three. Baptism is by immersion. And those of you that got sprinkled are ready to walk out. Okay. I want to show you why we so strongly believe that baptism is by immersion. The word baptism in the New Testament comes from the Greek word baptizo. And that word baptizo is that word that I told you that we have 33 different references about in the New Testament. And I'll give you one of them. And I actually preached this a few weeks ago, but I'm going to bring it back to you today. This is in Acts chapter 8. This is the Ethiopian eunuch having an encounter with Jesus. And here's what it says, starting in verse 35. Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" Baptizo. And he gave the orders to stop the chariot, and then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him, and when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Here's my question for you. And I could go back to when Jesus got baptized as well, because it uses the same language. How do you come out of something that you have not been in. The Bible says when Jesus got baptized, and here again, that he went down into the water and he came back up out of the water. And this is why we believe, partly, why baptism is by immersion. And so if you've been sprinkled, I hear you, and I understand, at the end of the day, listen, we don't want to discount your spiritual journey. We don't want to hinder any of those things. I just want to teach you what the Word of God says about this, and you can settle in your own heart what you see and believe, okay? But to me, the Scripture is quite clear that baptism is a believer's baptism, and it's your first step after you encounter Jesus, and it is by immersion. So why is immersion such a big deal? Pastor, why are you freaking out, man? Why is immersion such a big deal? Here's why. Because number four, baptism is an act of identification. Okay? It's an act of identification. You may not be able to see this, but I'm wearing a wedding ring. Okay? This is not a trick question. But when you see my wedding ring, inherently, what more likely than not does that mean about me? Yeah, I'm married. She's exactly right. So this ring identifies me as someone who has gotten married, right? Does that make sense? Okay. Here's what Paul writes to the church in Rome, Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism. I'll start it over in case you're a little slow and not with me. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united, married, brought together, we've been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. So baptism identifies us, okay? Here's the important part. This is why this is so critical. Jesus, we know, lived a perfect life. He died on a cross, and he was buried in a tomb, and then he resurrected himself again. For us, this is symbolic. This identifies us with Christ Jesus. When we stand in the waters of baptism, when we stand in it, it represents our old life, who we have been, who we were. And then when we're lowered into the water by immersion, totally into the water, it represents our old life dying. That water is like a tomb. And then when we're raised back up out of the water, we are united with Christ Jesus in his resurrection into new life. It represents for us the new life that now we walk in. And the only way we have it is from Christ Jesus. And so when you put on baptism, it's like putting on a ring in a way. It's a form of identification for us. Identifying what? That you are publicly declaring yourself as a follower of Jesus. Part number five, last point. Baptism is an act of association. Paul writes this to the church in Galatia. This is Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. Okay, so again, believing, being a believer, believer's baptism. So you are in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. Verse 27, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. You've now been associated with him. Much like the ring associates me with my wife Katie, baptism clothes you in association with Christ Jesus. Here's one of my favorite ways to think about this. If you've ever played sports, or maybe you've ever went to a sporting event, you see two teams playing, and they're all wearing outfits, right? And I know some of you are freaking out. No, it's a uniform. Okay, uniform. You're right. It is a uniform, and that's the point. They are unified under one banner, under one form of clothing, as one team, right? And then all of a sudden, have you ever been to a youth sports game where you got all the kids wearing their uniforms except one kid forgot theirs? Or it was too cold and one kid was just like wearing a jacket? You're like, I mean, whose team are they playing on over there, right? When we get baptized, we make a public declaration of faith in Christ Jesus. We are associating ourselves. We are clothing ourselves. We are putting on the jersey of being a follower of Jesus. And now anybody watching the game can see the association with whom you have connected to. They know what team you're playing on. And that's important. And so that's why baptism is such an important thing. That we connect all of these pieces of this doctrine together. That's why it's not just something that we do and I didn't want to teach you about. It has so much meaning, has so much power, and there's so much connectivity to Christ and to being a part of the body that I needed you to be aware of. And so here's what I will simply ask you. As a church, we've been leaning into responding physically to what God is spiritually doing in our heart. It's something that we've been thinking about and doing all this year, is actually physically responding to God. And so I just want to ask you two questions. Number one is this. Has there ever been a point in your life when you've committed your life to Jesus? When you've been saved, when you professed him with your mouth and you believed in your heart? And if that has never happened for you, and right now the Holy Spirit of God is tugging on your heart, I want to let you know that today is not only a day that you can be baptized, but today is a day of salvation for you. Today's a day that you can put your trust in Jesus and your eternity will be secured. There's good news in it that Christ said that while you were yet still a sinner, he died for you. Why? To forgive you, to pay the price for your sin. And if that's your story today, in just a moment, I'm going to give you a chance to respond to that good news and invite Jesus to be the Lord of your life and to profess him with your mouth, what you believe in your heart. The second question I want to ask you to consider is, in your own journey, as you've heard the doctrine of baptism today, and you've seen what God's word lays out for us to understand what baptism is, what does it mean for you personally? Not what your parents think, not what your grandparents asked you to do, not what your siblings want for you. Has there ever been a moment in your life that you've received or had an encounter with Jesus? And then after that, has there ever been a moment where you've gone public with the faith that he gave you, putting on the jersey, associating with him, identifying with him by being baptized by immersion? And if that's your story, you've had an encounter with Jesus, and yet you've not taken that step to be baptized, today is your day. Today is your day to do what point number one was, which is to be obedient to what Jesus asked us to do. So here's what's going to happen over the next few moments. In just a second, I'm going to give you a chance to respond to question number one. And then after that, our band's going to lead us in a song. It's a nice old song that I love. It says, "You Make Me Brave." Because I believe that there are many of you in the room that it's going to take some bravery for you to actually come to a day that you didn't plan on getting baptized and get baptized today. I want to let you know that we've prepared for you. We actually have clothes. We have shorts and shirts and underwear and bras and towels and toiletries and all the things that you need. There's no excuse except for your pride to not be obedient to Christ Jesus. And so I want to give you a chance to respond to question number one first. Have you ever received Jesus as your Savior? Have you ever put your trust in him? Have you ever had an encounter with him that he wants to save you? Today is your day. I'll invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And we don't do that to make it weird. When you bow your head and close your eyes, it's simply like bowing your knee. And I'll ask you the question, is today the day of your salvation? Would you like to put your trust in Jesus? Every week I lead our church in a prayer. It's an out loud prayer because it gives someone who may be coming to Jesus for the very first time, confessing him, the ability to do so out loud without being embarrassed, without feeling pointed out. I want to lead you in a prayer, and I want you to know it's not a magical prayer. It's not the prayer that saves you. It's the confession of your mouth, what connects to what you believe in your heart. That's what saves you. I invite you to pray after me. Say, Jesus, I am a sinner, and I'm lost without you. I need you in my life. Will you save me? Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. And I believe you've been raised from the dead. Will you forgive me? Jesus, help me learn to follow you the rest of my days, the best I know how. Your heads are still bowed, your eyes are closed. I've told you that as a church, we're trying to respond physically to what God's doing in our heart. No one's looking around, just me and you. If you responded to Jesus and he met you in this moment, and that moment was for you, would you just do me a favor, just me and you? Would you just raise your hand above your head that I might be able to see you and celebrate with you? Are there any in the room you would raise your hand and respond to God? Amen. Question number two. Is baptism your next step? And I know you didn't plan on getting baptized today. I know you didn't invite your friends and family. But we'll take pictures. We'll take video. We got clothes. We'll dry you off. We even got a hair dryer. If the Holy Spirit of God today, as I've been teaching his word, has illuminated for you that you need to be baptized today, I want you to settle it right now in your heart, because in a minute I'm going to give you a chance to move, and I don't want you to hesitate. I don't want the enemy to scare you. I don't want your pride to get in the way. I want you to settle in your heart right now. If this is a day that you will be baptized, that you settle it right now in your heart. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to stand, and we're going to sing. And if you're meant to be baptized, you already know you're going to be baptized. You made that decision right now. When we stand to sing, I just want you to slip out of your aisle, go through the back doors. There's going to be a team there to meet you. They're going to give you clothes. They're going to help you make sure you have all that you need. And then as a church family, we're going to gather outside after we sing to celebrate you being baptized. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I say thank you for your word. I say thank you for the doctrine of baptism that shows our association with Christ Jesus. We put on the jersey, that we connect our heart to an outward expression of what has happened in our heart by being obedient to being baptized publicly. God, I thank you for anyone in the room who might have a past that they feel like, man, I don't want to embarrass anybody. I don't want to turn my back on something that's happened with my parents or my grandparents. God, I pray that you would give them boldness today, bravery today, faith today to be obedient to your word, to respond, and to be baptized. Father, those who have already settled in their heart even before they got here today, that they're going to go public with their faith, God, I honor that. God, I pray that you would bless that and that this would be a powerful moment in their journey. And God, for anyone right now who sits under the sound of my voice, and as we sing, that you tug on their heart, God, I pray that you will give them the bravery and the courage to step out of their seat and to go public with their faith today. And so, Father, we honor you. We bless you. Our acts are simply a response to your goodness and your grace on our life. And we want to tell others how good you've been to us. And so, Father, we say thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Come on, home church. Stand to your feet, and we're going to sing. And if you're ready to be baptized, I want you to respond out the back. I'll see you out there.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If there's anything that we can do to serve you or come alongside of you in your journey, please reach out. You can reach us at hello@myhomechurch.cc.